Okay, my name is Molly Marin. I'm the webinar coordinator for the New York State RTI Technical Assistance Center. Just a few reminders before we get started today. We do have several upcoming professional development opportunities available to you, and more information can be found on our webpage at nysrti.org. A copy of today's PowerPoint is also available on our webpage. You can look under professional development and then under webinars. This week, we would like to congratulate the winner of the PALS manual drawing from November 19th webinar, Christine McLean, who I see on the call today. So congratulations, Christine. We're thrilled you won. And again, we will be raffling off a PALS manual for today's webinar. We'll be pulling those names from those who complete the evaluation. And again, at the end of today's webinar, we'll post the link to the evaluation. And if you take a few minutes to respond, we do look at those every week. And if you include your name and email in the bottom portion of the evaluation, those are the names, the list of names that we will pull, and we'll notify you later this week if you have won, and we'll ship that off to you. Also, during today's presentation, please use the chat box for any questions or comments that you may have. We are very pleased to have back with us Dr. Kristen McMaster to present the fifth and final webinar in our Strand 10 series, Using Peer-Assisted Learning Strategies, PALS, as a class-wide intervention in grades 2 through 6. Today's topic is called Booster Session. Dr. McMaster is a professor of special education at the University of Minnesota. She received her PhD in special education from Vanderbilt University. Her research interests include assessment and intervention for children who struggle with reading and written expression. And at this time, it's my pleasure to welcome back Dr. McMaster.
Thank you, Molly, and good afternoon, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us for our fifth and final webinar in the series on PALS and reading. Today, as Molly mentioned, we'll be doing a booster session, which is really a time to ask questions and identify issues that you'd like to bounce off me and the other participants. And we'll also have a preview of PALS for kindergarten and first grade. And Molly, I do not see the little arrows that I usually have to advance my slides. I'm sorry about that, but if you can advise me as to what I should do. Oh, I see. I got them. Sorry.
Okay.
All right. I'm set. Okay. So just to remind everyone, I'm not sure if everyone has had a chance to participate in the previous session, so just to give a little overview of what we've covered so far, on the first session, we talked just about the research and an overview of what PALS is and how to implement it in the classroom, including how to pair your students and select reading materials and schedule PALS as part of your reading instruction. The second session, we talked about partner reading with Retell. The third session, we talked about paragraph shrinking and prediction relay. And last time, we spent some time just putting it all together to give you a sense of what an entire PALS session might look like with students reading and conducting the PALS activities. So today, as I mentioned, we'll be having our booster session just to answer any questions that have arisen over the last couple of weeks. Hopefully, folks have had a chance to try PALS out in their classrooms, and maybe you'll have some questions that you would like us to talk about today. And then we'll talk a little bit about kindergarten PALS and first grade PALS. I was asked just to give a little preview of those. I know some folks are interested in what those parts look like. They're quite different from PALS for grades 2 through 6, so we'll spend some time talking about those. Our objectives for today are to address any questions and issues raised by you all, the participants, regarding implementation of PALS for grades 2 through 6, and then to do our preview of kindergarten and first grade PALS. So we'll start with a review and your questions. A couple weeks ago, before the Thanksgiving holiday, we sent out a survey to see if anybody had specific things that they would like to have reviewed or specific questions, and several people did reply to that survey. Donna is saying she can't hear anything, so I'm hoping others can hear me, but if not, please let us know. So we had a few responses to the survey, basically asking just to do a little bit of a review of all the PALS activities, then to talk about how we go about selecting reading materials and how to monitor students during PALS. And then there were a few specific questions that came up, and I'll address each of those. And then, of course, if you think of questions as I'm talking, please feel free to put those in the chat box. I'm going to pause for a minute. It looks like people are typing. I want to make sure you can hear me okay. Okay, I just see that some questions are coming up, and I'll answer those as I talk. Okay, so to review PALS, here's that question card that we've been using as a guide to walk us through each of the activities. And Donna, I'll answer your question when I get towards the end of this first slide. So for partner reading, we always start with the first reader, who is the stronger, more fluent reader of the pair, and they will read for 5 minutes. And the purpose of that is to provide a fluent model for the second weaker reader. But the second reader has a very important job, which is to be the coach. So they'll be listening to their partner read. They'll be following along. They'll be correcting any mistakes of missed words that the first reader makes. And they'll be awarding points, so 1 point for each sentence read correctly. Then after the first reader reads, the second reader will go back and read the same text that the first reader started on. And they will continue reading that same text for 5 minutes, receiving correction and help from the coach as needed, and the coach would continue to mark 1 point for each sentence. Then, at the end of that partner reading session, after 10 minutes, they move on to retell. The second reader retells while the first reader asks the questions, what happened first, what happened next, what happened next, and so on, until they've retold everything that they've read so far. And they do that for about 2 minutes, but that time can be adjusted based on the amount of text that most of your students are reading. So if you have students who are reading shorter texts, you might adjust that to just 1 minute for retell. Now I'll go back to Donna's question. She asked, after the first reader reads, the second reader reads the same text. What if the second reader doesn't read as much as the first? Where should they start the next time they read? And that's a really good question. I would say when they pick up for paragraph shrinking, which we'll go to in just a moment, the first reader should pick up where the second reader left off. That way the second reader will hear that text again and it'll just kind of firm up their reading for paragraph shrinking. All right. So after the students complete retell, which I should mention, at the end of retell, they mark 10 points or less. They get to decide whether they did a really good job with their retell and deserve all 10 points, or whether maybe they didn't do their very best and award themselves fewer points. But that's up to the students to decide. And they don't have to have done a perfect job. It might be that the coach helped the second reader do the retell, but they could still earn 10 points because the coach was being a helpful partner. They move on to paragraph shrinking, and during this activity, the first reader, who's the stronger reader, reads again, picking up where the second reader left off. And after every paragraph, that first reader will stop. The coach will say, name the most important who or what, tell the most important thing about the who or what, and say the main idea in 10 words or less. And the first reader will respond to each of those prompts. The coach will give them 1 point for each step and help them if they need it. So if the first reader is stuck, the coach can help them by having them go back and skim the paragraph. They can give a hint, and they can eventually tell the answer if their partner is having a hard time. They get 1 point for each step. And then after 5 minutes, so that goes on for 5 minutes, then the second reader has their turn. Again, they'll read paragraph by paragraph, stopping after each paragraph for the coach to give them the 3 prompts, and they get 1 point for each of those prompts. And that goes on for 5 minutes. And then finally, this is part of the same session, after they do paragraph shrinking for a total of 10 minutes, they move on to prediction relay, and that's where The coach will ask the first reader, who's the stronger reader in the pair, to make a prediction. They'll say, what do you predict will happen next? And the first reader will make a prediction. That prediction just needs to be a reasonable prediction based on what they've read so far or based on pictures, headings, that sort of thing. Then they read half a page, and that can be adjusted depending on the length of the text. So if there's not a lot of text on a page, you could have them read a whole page. But generally, read half a page. After half a page, they stop, and their partner asks, did the prediction come true? And the first reader can reply by saying, yes, no, or I don't know yet, just depending on what's happened in the text so far. And it's okay if the readers would like to stop and discuss it a little bit. So they might say, well, it didn't come true yet, but I think it's still possible because, and so on. So they can have a little brief discussion before they make another prediction and continue reading. So this process happens for 5 minutes. So the reader will make multiple predictions, read more than one half page, and make multiple confirmations of whether their predictions came true. And then finally, for the last 5 minutes, the second reader does the same thing. The coach will ask them to predict what will happen next. They make a prediction, and they continue reading, confirming their prediction, making new predictions, and so on for 5 minutes. Once again, they get 1 point for each of those three steps. And during both paragraph shrinking and prediction relay, the readers are always reading new text. So it's only during partner reading that they read the same text. After that, they're always reading new text so that each reader has a chance to summarize or to make predictions based on things that they have not read yet. The coach can always correct for word reading mistakes, so anytime their partner makes a mistake on a word, they would stop and help them correct that word, read the sentence again, but they're no longer getting a point for each sentence. They only get those points for partner reading. So that's the brief review of the Four Pals activities. If there are any specific questions, please feel free to type them in the box. There was one question about retell that somebody posted to the survey. They said, are there specific fiction and nonfiction student retell prompts that are printable from the book? And I assumed that by the book you meant from the manual, but if not, if I'm not answering your question, please feel free to clarify in the chat box. But to answer this question, as I think it is, for fiction, the question card that I've pasted a portion of here on the slide is from the manual. So if you've purchased the manual, it's either in the appendix with all of the teacher and student materials, or you might have gotten a CD with the manual, in which case the question card is on that CD, and you can just print it from the CD and make as many copies as you need. I recommend putting it on some sort of colored cardstock so that it's durable. You might want to laminate it, but just also if it's color-coded, you can say, everyone, pull out your yellow question card, and it just makes it really easy for the students to understand what you're referring to. For nonfiction text, there isn't a specific question card that is in the manual for nonfiction, but you're welcome to make your own. There is a mini lesson in the manual about using retell for nonfiction text, and basically what you would do is modify the prompts from what happened first to what did you learn first, what did you learn next, and so on, which makes more sense if they're reading something about animals or volcanoes. It might not be something that happens next. It might be what do you think you'll learn next. So I hope that answers that question, but please feel free to clarify the question or ask more questions. Somebody also asked that I review selecting appropriate text. And this is a really critical piece to the success of PALS. It's really important that readers are reading text that they can feel some success with. And so the idea is to have the text at the weaker reader's instructional level. And the rule of thumb there is about no more than 10 errors per 100 words. So you want to pick something at their instructional level. If you're using a leveling system like Fontus and Pinnell or something like that, you could certainly choose the level that you assess the student to be currently reading at. But do make sure that it's something where the reader might make some mistakes, so they'll require some correction, but they're not going to be struggling with every word. And that's something, you know, if you select some text that you think is about in the right range, and then you're listening to your students read and noticing that their partner is constantly having to correct them or getting really frustrated, then it might be a good signal that the book is either not appropriate or maybe they just don't like the book. So then you can make adjustments as needed. The other piece here is that it's a good idea. Somebody asked, I think, in an earlier webinar if students could have choice, and I think that's a really great idea. So what you might do is select a number of texts at a certain level and have them all together, maybe in a basket or on a certain area of a shelf in your classroom, and students would know that when it's time to select a new book, if they finish a book, they can go to that area and select a text that they want to read. And that way, they might be more motivated to read the book if they've had some choice. And their partner can choose with them. But just make sure that it's at the weaker reader's level. Another critical piece here is that the partners should be paired such that a stronger reader is not so far above the weaker reader that it will be difficult to find texts that both of them will engage in and enjoy reading. So making sure that the two readers are not too far apart in their skill level in reading is really important. And then each pair in the classroom can be reading from different texts. So if you have a really wide range of skill levels in your classroom, it's likely to be the case that not everyone would be reading the same book. The two students within a pair read from the same book, but each pair can be reading different texts. Somebody also asked a question, just asking if we can review what to do when you monitor students. And one thing I wanted to clarify is that when I say monitor, I don't necessarily mean formal progress monitoring, as in assessment, which is also an important thing to do. But the assessment piece isn't really built into PALS. The monitoring that I'm speaking of here is more what the teacher is doing while the kids are working. So the teacher would be walking around the room, listening to different pairs as they're reading, and giving them specific feedback on both their use of the PALS strategies and their coaching behaviors, as well as their actual reading. So that some of the things that you might watch to see are whether students are following the routines and procedures. If you're seeing a lot of instances where kids are either not prompting each other properly or not catching and correcting mistakes, you might want to do either some individual feedback with those students or come back and do a whole class reminder of how to do those particular procedures. It's really important that students know the procedures and are fluent with those, because if those come automatically to the students, they can direct a lot more of their attention to reading and answering the questions that that are part of the PALS activities. So make sure they know those routines really well and are fluent at those. And if they need some additional instruction, feel free to correct it either with a single pair or with the whole class. Make sure they're giving each other good feedback, that they're high-quality corrections, whether it's for words or for retelling or for their main idea statements. Make sure that the coach is really listening and giving good feedback to their partner. It's also a good idea to listen to their retellings and their main idea statements, and that might take some time, so you might need to linger with a certain pair for 2 or 3 minutes so that you can get the gist of the text that they're reading and be able to make a judgment about the quality of their main idea statements. And then also the same, listen for their predictions. Are they making reasonable predictions that could happen within the next half page of the text? Make sure they're not predicting too far out to the end of the book. If they're reading a chapter book and they're on chapter one, they should be predicting what will happen within the next page or so of chapter one, not all the way to the end of the book. So those are some things to look and listen for. There's some additional tips in the manual for each activity as to what kinds of things you might listen for as you're monitoring your students. And you might want to sort of switch out which students you watch on different days so that you can spend sufficient amounts of time with different students to hear them read and hear them make main idea statements and so forth, but you might not get to everybody in one single day. A specific question that somebody posted on the survey is, what do you do if you see the pair of students struggling with paragraph shrinking and retell activities? How much is too much teacher involvement? This is a great question, and I would say there's not really, I wouldn't be worried about too much teacher involvement. If you see that there's an issue and you think it warrants some correction, I would feel free to provide immediate feedback to that pair. So you might just jump in and say, you know, I think we should look back at this paragraph and think a little bit more about the main idea. And maybe help them think about that by asking W questions, like who, what, where, when type questions, just to help them kind of think about the important details of the paragraph and to weed out the more important pieces versus the less important details. If you need to model, you could do that. You could encourage the coach to stop and check their partner's answers and give their input. So I think it's fine for you to jump in and give pretty clear, immediate feedback. And then, you know, after you've done that, you could step back but continue to monitor that pair. So come back to them a few minutes later and see if what you did sort of helps them focus a little bit more on the paragraph, or if they're still really needing a lot of support. And if they continue to need a lot of support, that might be an indicator that they need some more explicit teacher-directed instruction around how to identify a main idea. And you can certainly provide that additional instruction either in small groups at another time of day if you're doing small groups for reading. You could do it as a whole class lesson if you're seeing that a lot of students are struggling with paragraph shrinking and retell. It's not going to hurt to step back and do a whole class lesson just to review how to make good main idea statements or how to retell a paragraph. And again, there are mini lessons in the manual, so if you need some guidance as to how to present that material, you can feel free to refer to the mini lessons that target these specific skills. I hope I answered that question, but again, feel free to clarify or ask further questions if that would be helpful. And then in addition to the review questions that folks posted on the survey, another person just asked for suggestions for behavioral challenges. And I'm glad that they asked for this. I think it's often probably one of the most challenging aspects of doing PALS is managing behaviors, because everything else is sort of scripted and really structured. So those pieces on their own, while it takes a while to get them going in the classroom, they're pretty straightforward. But when there's behavioral challenges, that sort of adds a whole other dimension to PALS and can make it really challenging. So I think those of you who have started PALS might have some good examples. You're welcome to share examples or questions that have come up or solutions to problems if you have any. But here are some ideas that I've discussed with teachers over the years that seem to be useful in considering behavioral challenges. So the first one is definitely consider behavioral issues at the very outset. So if you can be proactive in pairing kids together, that might solve some potential behavioral problems to begin with. If you know that two students don't get along, don't pair them together, which is sort of obvious, but if you're really focused on the skill levels, you might kind of forget that piece of it. But definitely consider behavioral issues and make adjustments to pairings based on your knowledge of how kids will interact with each other. The second thing that's kind of on the proactive end is to be really clear at the outset of how you expect students to work together. Model strong coaching behaviors. There are many lessons in the manual about how to be a good coach. I think the more clear we can be at the beginning of PALS about what we're expecting students to do, the better. I've had teachers who actually take some time with their students and brainstorm, what does it look like to be a good coach? What are things that they will commit to be good coaches for their partners, and how they'll behave during PALS? And you might have a discussion about how this is different than what we usually do, because no longer is the teacher the one directing everything. They have a really important responsibility in working with their partner, and have the students kind of commit to a certain behavioral standard. I think those kinds of discussions, even with second, third graders, can really sort of help them invest and buy into the idea that they're going to behave appropriately during PALS. Another thing is to give pairs a chance to get along. You know, not everyone really knows how to work together with a partner, and sometimes it just takes a little time to get over the initial humps in the road, but sometimes kids will work things out and they'll get along, especially if they're reading text that's enjoyable and engaging. But you don't have to let it go for too long. If there's a situation that is really disrupting PALS and making it difficult for everybody, you don't need to prolong a problematic pairing situation. So you can use your judgment about that. And then if you have a student who has particular behavioral issues, make sure that as soon as you see good, appropriate behaviors during PALS, to give specific, immediate feedback, positive feedback to help build their success. The more they see that their good behaviors get rewarded, the more likely they are to continue to engage in those. So give opportunities for success and recognize those. If it's a more serious issue, like a student who has ongoing behavior problems in the classroom, there might already be a behavior intervention plan in place, or you could create one. It might be something you do in collaboration with a special education teacher, but maybe there's another level of reward system or some sort of plan that's individualized to that particular child that they're working for during PALS. And on the next slide, I put one example that I've seen work well in some instances. So this is the point sheet. And what you could do on the point sheet is sort of randomly pick some point values that are spaced apart at whatever interval you think is appropriate, and highlight those or put a sticker on them. And when the partner in question gets to that point, maybe they're earning an additional token or something that could be traded in for some sort of reward later on. That may or may not be appropriate for certain students, but that's one way that you can sort of incorporate the existing PALS reinforcement system with another layer of reinforcement for students who might need more behavioral supports. But other behavioral plans or reinforcement systems that you have in the classroom could also be at work here. Another option that some teachers have made use of is just to rotate pairs a little bit more frequently, so there aren't ever two students, you know, stuck together for too long if there's a child who's difficult to work with. So that's an option. I think it's had some limited success in classrooms. It might be something that you decide to try, but I do more of the proactive things before trying that one. There's also one strategy that's worked really well in specific circumstances where a student who's having difficulty with behavior is paired with an invisible partner. So that's essentially not a partner, but they pretend, and it's sort of like their imaginary friend. It only really works for kids who have fairly good reading skills because they won't have anyone to correct them. But it is a way for some kids to just become more focused, just to have their invisible partner who can't argue with them, and they kind of take on both roles. I know it sounds a little silly, but it has worked well in certain situations. You could even have, if it's a younger group of students, pair them with the class teddy bear or something like that. And then kind of the last resort, but something that you should feel okay about doing if it's necessary, is to pair a child with significant behavioral challenges with an adult. If you have that luxury in the classroom that there's another adult, whether it's another teacher or a parent volunteer or an educational assistant, you could have that adult be the partner for the child. If that's the case, I would usually make it the goal that they kind of get weaned off the adult eventually and paired back with another child. But if that's going to make PALS run more smoothly in the classroom and it's a successful option for a particular student, you shouldn't feel bad about pairing kids with adults. So those are some suggestions. If others have ideas or questions, again, please feel free to chat. Talked about the point sheet. I'll pause just for a moment here and see if anybody starts typing a question. If not, I'll be moving on to kindergarten and first grade PALS. I don't see much typing happening. If you think of anything, just jot it down or put it in the chat, and we can come back to questions at the end. But now we'll move on to PALS for beginning readers at kindergarten and first grade. A while back in one of our previous webinars, somebody did ask if there were PALS activities for younger readers, and I briefly showed what those look like, but didn't go into much depth, and I was asked to spend a little bit more time previewing these with you all. So I'll just spend a little bit of time kind of talking about the purpose of PALS for beginning readers in general, and then showing you what the activities look like. There are some similarities and some differences between kindergarten and first grade PALS, so I'll try to highlight those. If you have questions, please feel free to ask them. And the important thing to note here is that this isn't a full-blown training, so what I'm presenting to you today probably won't get you in a position to implement kindergarten or first grade PALS with fidelity, but it will give you hopefully a good sense of what those activities look like. So the purpose of PALS for beginning readers is to develop important beginning reading skills for those young children, including phonological awareness, and we specifically focus on segmenting, blending, and rhyming. There's a little bit of syllable recognition in kindergarten PALS, but mostly segmenting, blending, and rhyming, which are pretty critical phonemic awareness skills for beginning readers. We also focus on letter sound recognition and decoding skills, and as kids progress through the lessons, and especially in first grade, we have some fluency components as well. So I'll talk about K-PALS first, and there's a fairly simple structure for K-PALS. It always starts with teacher-led practice, which is then followed by partner activities. The teacher, just like in grades 2 through 6, will then monitor the students while they're working together, and there is a point system fairly similar to grades 2 through 6. So for the teacher-led practice, the teacher always leads the class in what we call a sound play game, and those are brief phonological awareness activities that focus on those critical skills of segmenting, blending, and rhyming. Then the teacher will lead the class in the decoding activities to give them a good preview of the sounds and words that they'll be practicing with their partners. I'll show you what those activities look like in just a moment, but first I'll explain the partner activities. So after the teacher-directed piece, the partners will work on a decoding lesson sheet for about 10 to 15 minutes. Early on in K-PALS, it's more like 10 minutes, but once they have a lot of sounds and words to practice, it takes about 15 minutes. And they do four activities with their partner on the lesson sheet, including what sound, what word, sound boxes, and reading sentences. And then they read books together for about 5 minutes, and the reading books activity is introduced about 10 weeks into PALS when kids know enough sounds and words to be able to read decodable text. The books do not come with a PALS program. The teacher selects those, and usually they're just basic decodable books that kindergartners can read. I'll talk more about that in a little while. So, let's see. Here's a list of the different teacher-directed sound play activities, and I'll show you an example of each one. There's a clap the syllables game, a first sound game, rhyming, guess my word, and last sound. So here's an example of a clap the syllables game, and this game is only presented in the first two introductory lessons of PALS. It's just to kind of get kids warmed up and get used to the idea of listening for smaller parts that we can hear in words. So in this introductory lesson, there's a script that you can read. It comes in a manual. And the teacher will introduce the idea of syllables, first by talking with the students in the class and having them identify the parts or the syllables they hear in each other's names. So they'll practice saying each other's names and clapping the syllables they hear. And then they'll move on to this little lesson sheet, which the teacher would present to the whole class. And the teacher would say, I'm going to say the name of these pictures, and we're going to clap the syllables we hear in the pictures, that we hear in the names of the words for the pictures. So everybody can do this in front of your computer screen. We're going to clap the syllables in mittens. Ready? Mittens. How many syllables are in mittens? And the students would say two. And the teacher would say, yes, there are two syllables in mittens. We heard two claps. That means there are two syllables in mittens. Now let's clap the syllables in feather. Ready? Feather. How many syllables are in feather? If you said two, you're right. If a student said three, you would stop and model feather and explain that there were two claps, so there are two syllables in feather. How many syllables are in lion? Let's clap lion, lion. There are two syllables in lion, and so on. So we'd go through each of the pictures. We'd name the picture, clap the syllables. And then after we do all of the pictures on the lesson sheet, the manual directs the teacher to call up individual students to come to the front of the room and lead the class through the activity of clapping the syllables. So this game is done for just 3 to 5 minutes. It's really brief. Again, it's just to get kids used to the idea of listening for smaller parts that we can hear in words. Now, this image comes from a manual that's currently under construction. I and my colleagues, along with Doug Fuchs, who is the original author of the K-PALS manual, have been working on a revision. It should be coming out by January of 2016. So if you are interested in purchasing the K-PALS manual, I suggest that you wait. The new version is going to be a little bit updated and more user-friendly, we think. So it is coming soon. Here's an example of another sound play game. We call this the first sound A game. I already noticed there's a typo in this one, but we will fix that before the manual is printed. See if you can find it. But in the sound play game, what kids are listening for is the first sound that words make. So in this activity, the teacher would say apple, a, alligator, a. Which picture starts with a? Hat or ant? And the teacher would be pointing to each of the pictures as they said those words. After the teacher says which picture starts with a, hat, or ant, the students would say ant, a. So students are taught to say the word for the picture and then pick off the first sound, so ant, a. So they really have to segment the first sound off of the word. Then we'd move on to the next row, astronaut, a, ant, a. Which picture starts with a? Pig or apples? If you said apple, ah, you were right. If you said pig, it's apple, ah. And the teacher would model again. If a child made a mistake, the teacher would just repeat the row. My turn. Astronaut, ah, ant, ah, apple, ah. And then maybe have the students do it one more time. Then we do the last row, astronaut, ah, anteater, ah. Which picture starts with ah, cat or ant? And the students would say ant, ah. Please feel free to type in a question if that's not clear. Here's an example of another version of the first sound game. This one's a little more difficult because there's only one example and the students need to pick from three choices. So here we would say mat, mmm. Which picture starts with mmm? Milk, table, or strawberry? And the answer would be milk, mmm. Then we do snake. Which picture starts with tomato, sun, or mitt? And students would say sun, and so on. Now these games, you might have noticed that it, at the top of the slide it says lessons 5 through 8, 25 through 28, 57 through 60. So basically what happens is that the teacher will introduce the lesson the first time it appears in the sequence, and they'll have several lessons of this type of game. Then we would move on to a new game, like in lesson 9, it will be a whole new, different kind of game. But we'd come back to this game later on in the program. So lesson 25, again, students will be seeing the first sound game. Here's an example of the rhyming game. In this activity, we're listening for words that rhyme. So we have cat, mat. Which picture rhymes with cat and mat? Bat or carrot? And the answer is bat. So students would say that together. Pat, rat. Which picture rhymes with pat and rat? Bat or sun? Students would say bat. And we continue with that game. Guess my word is a little bit more involved. So in this game, we have four pictures, cat, bat, pat, and mat. And all of the words are down here at the bottom of the lesson sheet. But after the teacher names all of those pictures, and you would say, now I'm going to say one of these words in a funny way. See if you can guess my word, but don't let it pop out of your mouth. Just raise your hand when you think you know my word, and then you can say the word all together. So then the teacher would point to these boxes at the top and segment one of the words below. So I might say, at. Then I would pause and give everyone a chance to guess the word. Feel free to type it in if you know my word. At. Donna got it. It's bat. So then everyone together would have a chance to say it. And I would encourage all the kids to point in the air. This was presented to the whole class. And say the sounds in bat. B-A-T. And then say the word one more time. Bat. So we'll do another one. I'm going to say one of these pictures in a funny way. See if you can guess my word. M-A-T. Can you guess my word? Sabrina, Gina got it. Or Jenna, sorry. Yep, so everyone point to these boxes here and we'll say the sounds in mat. M-A-T. The word is mat. So you do that with each of the pictures and then you might have a child come up and be like the teacher and lead the class through the activity again. Do that a couple of times. The last, or actually there is another guess my word activity. It's a little bit more challenging because now instead of word families like at words, we have words that begin with the same sound. So we have b, I, k, b, a, b, ed, and b, oat. And you might notice that some of these words actually have four letters if you spell them. But since this is an auditory activity, bike and boat both have just three sounds, and we're just listening for the sounds at this point. The last sound play game that we have is called Last Sound, and this is probably the most challenging one for kindergartners because now we're listening for the last sounding words. And this game doesn't come until lesson 37, so they've had some time to practice and they'll know quite a few sounds at this point. But it's a lot like the first sound game. We would say cat, t, boat, t, which picture ends in t, apple, or foot. And the students would reply foot, t. So again, they would be segmenting off the last sound of the word to identify the last sound. So then hat, t, coat, t, which picture ends in t, mitt, or scissors. And the answer would be mitt. So that's how that game works. So each of these games happens in a lesson. So there are actually 88 lessons in K-PALS. So each day that you would do K-PALS, you would do one of these lessons right at the beginning, just for 3 to 5 minutes. It's teacher-directed, so you might have the games on your overhead or your smart board and have all of the students looking at it. Some teachers would just put it on an easel and have all the kids sitting on a carpet looking at the lesson sheet. So you do that with a whole class before they do the other K-PALS activities. So then after students do the sound play activities, they would move on to the corresponding decoding lesson. So they do sound play lesson 29 and then decoding lesson 29. And the manual is set up so that all of the lessons are together for each day that they're to be presented to the students. Now at the beginning of each K-PALS lesson, the teacher would introduce the activity to the students and review all of the sounds and words with them. Some lessons would have this first letter in a box, and that would be only if the letter is new to PALS. So if G was in a box here, it would mean it's the first time students were introduced to the G sound. So if there was a letter in a box, the teacher would tell the students, we have a new letter today or a new sound today. That sound is G. Everybody, what sound? And all the children would say G. So they would have learned that new sound. Then the teacher will model what the students will do with their partners. So essentially what happens here is the coach points and asks what sound, and then the reader just says the sound. So it would go like this. What sound? The reader would say G. What sound? What sound? Ah. What sound? R. What sound? Ah. What sound? Excellent job. So when they get to a star, they're going to say something nice, and they can say anything like good job, super duper, anything that comes to mind that's a positive statement to their partner. So they would continue on with all of these letters, and when they get to the very end, they would draw a line through one of the happy faces, and that would show that the students had finished one round of the what sound activity. After they get a happy face, they go back to the beginning, and now the second reader reads, and the first reader becomes the coach, and will ask again, what sound, what sound, what sound, all the way to the star, good job, and then continue on all the way to the end. And then they'd mark another happy face. And once students have been trained to do these activities, they always get two happy faces, and then they move on to the next activity, which is what word. So on what word, the coach asks what word. The reader says the word. What word, what word, what word, and so on. When they finish the whole set of words, they mark a happy face, then they switch jobs, and they read the words again. Then, after they have two happy faces on what word, they go on to sound boxes. On sound boxes, the coach first prompts, read it slowly. The reader reads it slowly, so, and they're trained to read without stopping between sounds. So read it slowly, at, and then the coach says, sing it and read it. And I'm sorry, but I'll demonstrate singing. So they'll go, Rat, rat. So the idea is that by singing, they blend the sounds together, and then they say the word. The singing it part was actually an idea of one of the teachers in the original K-PAL studies, because kids were having a really hard time blending those sounds together into words, so she thought, well, if we ask them to sing it, they'll do a better job of blending. So that actually worked really well, so we incorporated it into the PALS lessons. So they do each of those sound boxes, and then starting on lesson 29, they start having these simple sentences because by now they have enough sight words and decodable words that they can read a whole sentence. So they learn what a sentence looks like, and that if we need to sound out words, we can do it even though there are not sound boxes here. So they read the sentence, the rat sat. After they've done both the sound boxes and the sentence, they mark a happy face, they switch jobs, and they do this section again. Now, if the students finish and there's still time left, because the teacher will set a timer for about 15 minutes, they can go back and repeat each activity and earn more happy faces. So they can get all four happy faces if they're moving pretty quickly. They can even draw more happy faces on the lesson if they're finishing them multiple times. So nobody should ever be just sitting idle at the end of PALS. They can always go back and practice it again. So just to kind of review, the teacher will always do a sound play game. And then the teacher will model this entire lesson for the whole class. And then students will go and work in their partners, and they'll do each of these activities for about 15 minutes. There are correction procedures for each activity. So students learn that when their partner is doing what sound, if they make a mistake, their coach will say, stop, that sound is whatever. What sound? Good, go back and read that line again. It's kind of similar to grades 2 through 6, where we're always stopping and correcting mistakes. Same for sight words. Stop, that word is the. What word? The. Good. Go back and read that line again. And the same thing for sound boxes. So there are specific correction procedures. There's also a point sheet. So students will work with their partner, and for every happy face that they get on the lesson, here, they get to count those up and mark corresponding points. So if they got all, they got all 12 happy faces on the lesson, then they would mark 12 happy faces on their point sheet. So it's kind of a good counting activity as well. And then around week 10 of K-PALS, students do read a book together. Again, the book is selected by the teacher. It doesn't come with PALS, but typically just decodable books with sounds and words that the children have been practicing are appropriate. This particular book comes from Primary Phonics, I think, but there's other, I'm sure you're aware of, multiple options of decodable texts if you work with kindergartners. Usually I would add about 5 minutes, or it can be just part of the PALS session. In the book reading activity, the stronger reader reads first, and that first reader will read the title, Mac and Tab, and then the second reader will read the same title, Mac and Tab. Then they continue on, so the first reader reads a sentence, Tab is a cat, and the second reader reads the same sentence, Tab is cat. And they continue through the book that way. When they finish the book, they mark 5 points, and then they can read it again. And you might have the weaker reader read first this time. So they get some repeated reading with decodable text. They still correct each other using the same correction procedure as in PALS. So stop, that word is tab. What word? Tab. Good, read that line again. Now, kindergarten PALS typically is scheduled for about 30 minutes, 3 to 4 times per week. The 30 minutes accounts for the teacher doing the sound play game and the preview of the lesson, and then students working together for about 15 minutes. 3 times per week is the minimum. 4 times per week we found is more effective in Title I or high poverty classrooms. So you can do the KPALS lessons 4 times a week if needed. And I strongly recommend the same times each day, same days each week, to make KPALS part of the routine of the classroom. Okay, so I haven't seen any questions yet, but again, please feel free to pop some in if you need to. We'll go on to first grade PALS, which is quite similar to kindergarten in some ways, but different in other ways. So again, there's teacher-led practice, there's partner activities, the teacher monitors while students are working with their partners, and there's a teams and reward system as well. Partner activities include saying sounds, sounding out, reading sight words, and reading a story. What's different from Kindergarten PALS is that they do a speed game, which I'll explain. It's designed to increase automatic word recognition and fluency. And then there's a partner reading activity that starts during about week 10, where kids are reading, this time from trade books. So they don't need to be decodable text, but books that kids can read together. There's a point system. You can see that there's a few more points on this point sheet than in kindergarten, but it's the same idea. They'll be earning points based on different activities. There's also a version of this that counts by fives. So if you're interested in reinforcing counting, different counting schemes, there is that option. And it's a pretty similar approach. There's no longer the sound play lessons, but the teacher will preview the decoding activities and a hearing sounds lesson at the beginning, where they'll stand up in front of the class, show these words here, and have the students say the sounds in each of the word, then sound them out and read them fast. So as the teacher, I would say, say the sounds in PAM and have the students put one finger up for each sound. P, E, M. Then they'd sound it out. P, AM, and read it fast. PAM. They'd do that with SID. Say the sounds in SID. ID. Sound it out. SID. Read it fast. SID. Say the sounds in HAT. AT. Sound it out. HAT. Read it fast, HAT. So that's just a quick teacher preview just to make sure students know the sounds in the words they are to read with their partners. And then students will work with their partners on each activity. Very much like Kindergarten PALS, it's a little different because each activity is done for a certain number of minutes. So what sound is 3 minutes, the teacher would set a timer and the students would do what sound for that entire 3 minutes. So again, the coach would say what sound, what sound, what sound. The reader would say the sounds, and the coach would praise at the stars. For this activity, the coach would first say sound it out. The reader would sound it out. Pam. And then the coach would say read it fast. The reader would read Pam. So they would do that activity for 4 minutes, and then each time they get to the bottom, they mark a happy face, switch jobs, and do it again. And for some reason, it's not flipping over to the next. Oh, here we go. Okay. On the back of this sheet, the students have sight words to read. So the coach will prompt the reader to read the words. The reader will read all of the sight words. And the sight words come from the Dolch word list, so they're just high-frequency words that young children will likely encounter in books. What do you notice about the sight words in this lesson? Dorothy is typing. Oh, Dorothy lost me. Okay, sorry about that. What do you notice about the sight words in this lesson? Is there anything sort of noticeable about them? So the words, oh, Susan has an idea. The words aren't just individual words. see if Susan's got it. Yeah, some are joined together to make a phrase. So they're chunked together into phrases really to promote the idea of building fluency and reading words as chunks. So students would read are, has to come, find, be no, are for, he said, are away with. So they're reading them in little chunks like that. And that's part of the idea of building fluency in first grade PALS. So students read the words. When they get to the bottom, they mark a happy face, they switch jobs, and they do the activity again. And the final activity in first grade PALS is the story. And the stories get progressively longer, so as we advance through the PALS lessons, these stories become pretty long and involved, and they have these same characters, Pam and James. They have a dog named Wags and some other characters that appear. We have these words over here in stars, and those are rocket words. Those are words that the students might not be able to sound out yet, but they do make the story a little bit more interesting. So the teacher introduces these rocket words at the very beginning of the lesson. So we have two rocket words in this story. The first rocket word is James. And I'd say, everybody, what word? And everyone would say James. You can try to find James that is bolded in the story. There's four different times. Then we have a rocket word, brother. Everybody, what word? Brother. And then they would find the word brother in the story. Then the teacher would model reading the story. We always say quickly, correctly, and with expression. So we want to really promote reading with fluency, but not speed reading, reading with expression. So Pam and James. Pam has a brother, James. Pam has a baseball. Pam throws the baseball to James. Pam and James are in the grass at the park. So the teacher would model that, and then the students would read together for 4 minutes. And you'll see that there are multiple happy faces here, and that's really to promote a repeated reading process where the first reader reads, gets a happy face, second reader reads the story, gets a happy face, but they keep going back and forth and taking turns. So hopefully they've read the story multiple times by the end of the 4 minutes. And then finally, there's a speed game where the students are prompted to go back to read the words. And this is kind of a whole class teacher-led activity where all the first readers first have a chance to go to the beginning of read the words. The teacher sets a timer for a brief amount of time, and the students read the words as quickly as they can. And when the timer rings, they stop, they circle the last word they read and put their first initials, and then they have a second chance to try to beat their score. And so all first readers get 3 turns, and if they beat their score, then they get to mark a rocket on a rocket chart. So this is an individual aspect, so all students have a rocket chart. If they beat their time on the speed game, they get to mark a rocket. When they finish the whole thing, they can color it, they can take it home. There's little PALS bookmarks that they can trade their rocket chart in for. So it's just a little motivational piece. And finally, in first grade PALS, there is a partner reading activity. It's conducted for about 10 minutes at the end of each PALS session. I recommend using children's literature, so maybe decodable text if needed, but if kids are able to read more interesting advanced literature, I would strongly suggest that. And it's pretty similar to kindergarten PALS partner reading, but this version is page by page instead of sentence by sentence. And they read the book 4 times. So again, starting at week 10, the stronger reader is the first reader. They read the title, second reader reads the title. And then the first reader is going to read a page, second reader reads the same page. They continue that way through the book. They mark 5 points when they get to the end, and then they go back and read it again, this time with the weaker reader reading first. And they do that a total of 4 times. So each child gets to read first twice. They do correct each other. So they do learn a correction procedure during the reading stories activity. And they can apply that correction procedure here as well. First grade pals takes about 30 to 45 minutes per session. It's closer to 30 at the most with just the decoding lessons, but when you add partner reading, it takes a little bit longer. We recommend doing it 3 times per week, and it's always the same times each day, same days each week. So that is your quick tour of kindergarten and first grade pals. I hope that was helpful in giving you a sense of what those activities look like. Again, that's not really a full training in those activities, but just a little preview. If you have questions, I will certainly answer them now. I'm also happy to answer questions via email if you are implementing either if you have questions about kindergarten and first grade, or if you're in the midst of implementing PALS for grades 2 through 6 and you have some questions, do feel free to email me. I think I actually did not include my email on this particular PowerPoint, but I can tell it to you. It's mcmas004@umn.edu. So again, that's mcmas004@umn.edu. And I'm always happy to answer questions via email if you have them. I'm just going to pause here and see if questions come up now. Carrie is typing. So while we're waiting for her question, I'll just thank you all once again for joining me for this webinar. And if you've stuck with us for the whole series, I really appreciate that. I hope it's been helpful. I hope you are finding some success in implementing PALS in your classrooms. And again, please let me know if you have questions that I can help with.
And this is Molly. Thank you so much, Dr. McMaster. I see Carrie is typing, but while she's typing, I'm going to post the link to the evaluation just as a reminder to everybody. And we very much appreciate everybody that's been on all 5 webinars. It's been great.
Great. Thank you so much.
Oh, it doesn't want to. There we go. So there's the survey. I see a bunch of thank yous. I don't know if there's going to be any questions. It doesn't seem like any questions, so we'll end there. And Dr. McMaster, if you want to hang on just a second.
Yep.